Long introduction, but thank you. I'm going to come closer because you're all way back there and I'll feel lonely. And why is it that we always sit at the back in churches, hey? I don't know. I always tell people when I'm speaking, I actually notice the people up the back, not the ones down the front. So sometimes you sit at the back to hide, but I can see you better than these ones down here. But it's lovely to be with you this morning, and we've been having a wonderful time in your city. It's a beautiful city. I was telling someone I'd love to come back on a holiday so I can actually spend a bit more time at the beaches and looking around. So another time I'll come back. But look, this morning I just really woke up with something on my heart for you guys, particularly. And I trust that I'm speaking to individuals, but also to you as a church this morning. I don't know if anyone in here is currently or ever felt fearful about anything. Okay, good. We're human beings. Fear can really grip us, can't it? And I think it's particularly can be a real attack of the enemy. And I wanted to talk about the call to courage in the battle. Because whether you fully understand it or not, we're in a battle. There's an enemy and there's God. But there's an enemy who hates us. He hates you. He hates your leaders. He hates your church. He hates the city. He hates anything that represents the beauty and the fullness of God's kingdom. But the great news is that there's a God who loves us, and we're on his side, and so we don't need to fear. But however, you know, quite often a lot of fear does come into us, and especially as Christians, we're called into a battle. We're called to engage in the battle for souls. We're called to engage in the battle for your city. We're called to push back darkness. We're called to engage in the battle in your workplace. If you're in a workplace, if you're in a school, God has put you there not just to earn a living and get an education. God has put you there to actually see his kingdom come, to see the reality of Jesus into that place. I think we forget that some days because we get so busy, we get so bogged down in everything, and we just live life almost like we're robotic. And we forget that there's a God. God, how do you want to use me today? What do you want to do through my life? Do you believe that? Yeah. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that we just don't have to turn up to church and that's our Christian duty? Isn't it good that we get to be a part of a bigger picture? Part of what God is doing on this earth. And so there's a lady, I love reading biographies, and there's a lady by the name of Harriet Tubman. She was born in the 1800s in America, an African-American woman. She was born into a slave family. And, you know, her family worked on a property for these white people, but, you know, like so often, a lot of abuse, a lot of beatings, and Harriet received a lot of beatings. In fact, she suffered from migraines all her life just due to the beatings that she received. But at the age of 20, Harriet had had enough and she decided she was going to escape slavery. So she did. And back in those days, you just don't run to the nearest airport and get on a plane and you're safe. If you've seen any of the movies, any of the documentaries, you are traveling for days, for months underground. They had a whole network trying to rescue slaves back then. And you're walking, you're on trains, you're sleeping out in the bush. It's a high-risk adventure. And Harriet, along with another group, they escaped up to Canada. And just knowing, can you imagine after growing up for the first 20 so years of your life, just knowing slavery, belonging to someone else, finally you're free. I mean, you'd feel pretty happy. You'd feel pretty, wow, sense of, wow, this is cool. Man, you'd just like to enjoy your freedom, wouldn't you? But Harriet, called by God, did not sit in her freedom and live in Canada. For the next 20 years of her life, she went back down to the south every year and rescued over 300 slaves in those 20 years at huge risk. Huge risk. And, you know, they tell some amazing stories because quite often they'd rescue about 15 at a time. That's all you could manage in the group. Otherwise, if there's too many, you undo your cover. And they tell the story in a book I read about her that she was one night traveling through a river with a bunch of men rescuing them out of slavery. And one man just froze in fear. And he said, I can't do this. I'm going to go back, you know, to my slave owners. Harriet pulled out a gun and said, you move forward or you die. I know, that's the type of woman she was. And that's what you had to do. There was no room for fear. There was no room for wimps, you know. It was, we are moving forward into freedom. And I reckon Harriet's life is a great picture of us in our Christian walk. Because Christianity is not about being saved, set free from, you know, living an eternity in hell and just enjoying a nice, comfortable life. We don't get to do that. A lot of people do, and I won't give you my opinion about that. But as followers of Christ, we are enlisted into something bigger, and we actually have a responsibility to run back and forth into the enemy's camp daily, rescuing those who are lost. And it's going to take risk, and it's going to take courage. And I think now we're living in a day and age, especially the Western Church, where we have become apathetic, where we have become silent, we're afraid to speak up. Do the people at your job even know that you're a Christian? Have they even heard about Jesus from you? Are your neighbours aware that you come to church? Have they ever been invited? You know, these are some of the challenging things. I mean, I'm sure we all have great excuses as to why we don't do it. I do. I have the best excuses into the world as to why I don't do certain things. But God is calling us to live courageously. And when you look at the Bible, God speaks to people and says, do not be afraid, over and over again. It's over and over again because God knows that as humans, we are fearful. And I love when you read Hebrews chapter 11, and I just want to read a little bit out of it because I changed my message. The Bible readings aren't relevant anymore. But thank you. You did a great job. But let me read you the real Bible readings for this morning. But they were great too. But Hebrews 11, you know, is just a picture of amazing men and women in the Bible. And it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. Like, just imagine yourself in the midst of this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I talk of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Has anyone shut lions' mouths? We've shut a few dogs' mouths, haven't we, Wendy? They quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not escaping their release. You know, is this some fairy story? I get challenged because these aren't the superhuman heroes of the day. These are just ordinary men and women like you and me. And when you study their lives, you see their brokenness, their sin on display. You know, aren't you glad that our lives aren't in the Bible? I'm so glad all my issues aren't in the Bible. But I'm so glad theirs are because, man, it gives me a lot of encouragement. And so these people, you know, nothing superhuman about them. They didn't have three legs or wear their undies on the outside like Superman. They were just normal people like you and I in their imperfection, but they chose to believe by faith and trust in an almighty, huge God. They chose to trust in the promises in which God had given to them. And I think so often, and a reason why that we lack so much courage is because we choose to look at the circumstances and the issues rather than look at who God is. Well, I do. We do, don't we? We live by sight and we look at what's going on in our life and we get so fixated on what is happening in the natural rather than choosing to believe in what God has said in the situation, what God has spoken to us personally, what God has spoken to us as a church, and to move forward even though we don't know where we're going. Who loves getting in the car and going somewhere where you don't know where you're going? No one likes that. No one in life likes to say yes to God and not know where we're going. But I'm sorry, that's how God chooses us to walk, trusting in Him. And for myself, I know that God has spoken words over my life in the past. And in the natural, it seems ridiculous. You know, I've been given specific words. I work with a lot of non-Christian girls in our city. And I've been given words that we will have a generation of girls in that city who have never been abused. Well, currently, 1 in 3 girls are abused. So in the natural, it looks ridiculous. How am I going to make that happen? What is going to do it? But all I know is that that's a word that God has given me. That's something that burns in my heart. We're working towards it. We're praying for it. We're trusting God. Who knows how it's going to happen or what? But, you know, you've got to stand upon what God has given you, and you've got to step out in courage and take risks in that. And I love this saying that when you say a situation or a purpose is hopeless, you are slamming the door in God's face. And I want to challenge us, because I think sometimes we look at situations, we look at people and say it's hopeless. It's not good to speak that over, because nothing is hopeless in God. And I know I've done that, and I've looked at particular girls that we've been working with for years and I just think, oh, this is hopeless. But then God just comes and does something and breaks through without me when I least expect it. And so there is no situation too hopeless for God. We have a bit of a dream. As your pastor said, I work across the churches, mobilizing women into our community. And we have a dream for the girls of our city. Do you want to hear it? Because I believe that when you're in the midst of a battle, you need a dream. You need to dream. And God's people should be the most hope-filled people. So we dream of a city where there's no rape or sexual abuse. We dream of a city where there are no teenage pregnancies to single girls, where suicide, eating disorders and depression are unheard of. We dream of a city where women are honoured and respected by men as valuable human beings rather than sex objects. We dream of a city where the number one selling magazine is produced by Christians. We produce a magazine. We dream of a city where churches put aside all their differences to truly work together to make our community a better place for girls and women. Now, you're probably saying, Tish, you're just dreaming too much. And maybe I am. Maybe I eat too much pizza and I'm, you know, out there somewhere. But it's so important that in the midst of the battle we have a dream. In fact, it's actually abnormal for us as Christians not to dream for the impossible. If God is not speaking to you, whatever God speaks to you is always going to be the impossible. It's always going to be way beyond what you can handle. It's going to be way beyond your resources. Can I tell you that? It's going to scare the pants off you. It's going to make you want to wet your pants. It's going to make you do a whole lot of things. Man, it's going to make you have sleepless nights. That's what God does when he comes and speaks to us. Have you noticed that? And I love the older generation in this church, and I'm sure you'd have amazing stories of the faithfulness of God. And I'm still on that journey, and I'm learning that if I'm going to keep following God, it's going to be scary every day of my life. And it is. So look, I've just got a few points of what it takes to engage in this battle. Number one, it really takes that we give our life and fully surrender it to Jesus. Because we're not going to want to do the impossible. By nature, we are creatures of comfort, aren't we? Don't you just like to make everything comfortable and everything nice around us and make sure everybody's happy? And I might step out one day and do something amazing, but the next day I want to withdraw into my comfort where it's just nice. Am I the only one? No, I think we long for comfort. We long for what will suit us, will look after us. But I tell you, it's not going to happen if you're following God, if you're fully surrendered to God, because God has a mission for us. Your mission is not something you do over in Africa. Mission is something you do every day of your life. We do mission trips to Africa. We do mission trips to your workplace. Wherever you are, you're on mission. And so living fully surrendered to God and his purposes. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer, let me quote Bonhoeffer in a Lutheran church. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Have you heard that one? When, a lot. Someone's rolling their eyes. Sorry. Oh, you hate that. Is it because you hate it? When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids us come and die. He bids us surrender up our hopes and dreams. I had a plan for my life. My plan was that I was going to be a physical education teacher. My PE teacher at school was a lovely man, but he was quite large and he was very unfit. And so my goal was to actually go to university, come back and kick him out of his job. I know, I'm a bit naughty sometimes. Because I loved sport and I hated being taught by this teacher who wasn't with the program. Anyway, needless to say, God changed that. Isn't it funny? I didn't even get into university and my life took this funny turn. And here I am working with young women, and that was never my plan. In fact, if God had told me, I would have vomited and run 1,000 miles in the other direction. Because that was not in my plan at all. But God, when you just got to surrender to his purposes. And now I'm so much gladder I'm doing than what I'm doing than being a PE teacher. So are we surrendered? Are we really? Or are we still trying to hold on to things? What are you trying to hold on to this morning? Might just be little areas, it might be a big thing. What is that thing that God is calling you to do, but you feel too much fear because we're holding on to it? God calls us. Whoever saves his life will lose it. You know, and God's people should be the most courageous, giving, loving, risk-taking, creative and innovative people on the earth. Have you ever heard of the Jesuits? So our current Pope is a Jesuit. For those who haven't, it's a Catholic order of male men founded in 1540 and still going today. They've been on the front foot of pioneering schools, especially over in Europe. Late 1800s, they had 700 secondary schools on 5 continents. In one decade, they set up 30 colleges, universities, research seminars, and they've been involved in social justice. They're actually known as the world's most influential company of its time. Amazing, isn't it? They're still in existence 450 years later. And I believe this is why. It is said of them that they have the ability to innovate, to remain flexible and adapt constantly, to set ambitious goals, to think globally and to move quickly and take risks. They say that the Jesuits live life with one foot in the air, ready to go wherever God tells us next. But I think meanwhile in Australia, we live it with 2 feet. We find our comfort zone. This is great. I'm happy here. God, I'm not listening to you. I don't want to go anywhere. But the way to live courageously, innovatively, is to live with one foot in the air, fully surrendered to God. So number one, we surrender our lives to God. Number two, we live with courage. And as I've been saying, courage is a fundamental characteristic that Christians must have in our life. Because we're living in an ever-increasing society that is not just indifferent to Christianity, but it's hostile towards us. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that we're no longer even in a Christian nation? Have you noticed? And I believe that there's greater persecution coming to the Church of Australia. That there's going to be greater persecution for speaking up. My brother, Lyle Shelton, leads Australian Christian Lobby, so I hear all the stories and all that's going on to push back on anything that's Christian, the hatred. I mean, the death threats, everything that he is faced with, because no one wants Christian values anymore, even though it's what has been the foundation of our nation that gives us freedom, that sets us apart from a lot of other religions and nations around the world. We have a society that is very hostile towards Christians. So we're going to face a lot more persecution. We're going to need courage in the future. But for some of us, maybe this morning you just needed courage to get up and come to church. Maybe parents who are here, you need courage. I think it's a day and age where you need huge courage in your parenting, in bringing up young people. Especially working with girls, I tell you, there has been time that I've absolutely wanted to give in. There was a young lady that I worked with for quite many years in Toowoomba. I'd met her through one of our programs in the high schools. She'd become a Christian. We'd baptized her. I picked her up every morning and every night of a Sunday for 5 years to take her to church. And I loved her. She was almost like my daughter. But then one day, she was from a non-churched family, no father, had been abused when she was younger. And one day, she decided that she would go to a friend's place for a sleepover. And she went to this friend's place, and the friend just lived with her father. And that night, her father had been drinking, the friend's father, and he raped this girl I'd been discipling. And she went down a huge downhill track. She got kicked out of school. She was just sitting at home on the internet. A guy from the Gold Coast approached her over the internet, came and picked her up, and he's been living with her as some type of slave for the last 5 years. And I tell you, there's times like that where I just want to give up. You really do. You think, why bother? You invest so much into these lives. You do all you possibly can. I mean, she's just one of thousands that we deal with. And you want to give up. But I tell you what, when God calls you to do something, when God puts you in a situation, you don't have an option. You just got to take courage, take heart, and get up and keep going the next day. And God, it's not about me, it's about you. My life is surrendered to you and your purposes. I don't have an option. I live right next door to Woolworths. And some days I look at Woolworths and think, I would love to be a checkout chick. And just go, hello, how's your day? Beep, beep, thank you. And just go home and not have to think about anything. But that's not what God has called me to do, and I don't get an option. And so being engaged in the battle requires a surrendered life. It requires living with courage. You know, and when you look at the people in the Bible, they are full of courage. I mean, they're scared, but they're full of courage. My favorite person in the Bible is a woman named Jael. You know that woman who invited the enemy into her tent, gave him a cup of milk, put him to sleep, and then drove a tent peg through his head. I mean, where are those people in the church today? Where are they? I mean, what courage? It must have been one strong tent peg. The sound of a skull. Anyway, amazing. Amazing. Hey. So may God give us courage. And look, finally, I think as we engage in the battle, we need to live with perseverance. And I think this is perseverance is something that I don't see around, especially in the younger generation. We live in a generation where if it's too hard or if it doesn't suit me or doesn't please me, I'm given up. And I see it inside the church, I see it outside the church. And you know, the battle that we're involved in, it's not an overnight battle. It's not going to be won overnight, but it sure does take having courage. And I think sometimes in the midst of the battle, you just got to stand. Sometimes you don't even know what to do. And just stand and worship God and acknowledge Him and persevere and not give up any sense of territory. But I love the story of a guy called John Akweri. He was a Tanzanian marathon runner in the Mexican Olympics many years ago. I'm not sure what year that was. Have you heard the story of John? Let me tell you. The day that they were running the marathon in the Mexican Olympics, it was an extremely blistering hot day. The race was duly completed in a reasonable time, and other events reclaimed the focus for the crowds. You know how they usually run into the stadium as they finish? Well, the marathon had finished and other things were happening in the stadium. But then several hours later, as the day's activities had come to an end, people were emptying out of the stands and heading home. Just then, John entered through the tunnel and embarked on his last lap. His face was contorted in agony. His cramped feet shuffled along. Some of you might remember watching this. And progress was painfully slow. Gradually, the crowd caught on and started cheering wildly. They realised, here's this guy, he's part of the marathon. When John crossed the finish line, the noise was deafening. At a later press conference, he was asked by the interviewer. He said, "You were so far behind, John. Why didn't you just give up?" John replied, "My country didn't send me here to start a race, but to finish a race." And I tell you, Jesus doesn't send us to earth to start things and stop things and quit when it gets hard and, you know, whatever. He calls us to finish the race strong. Well done, good and faithful servant. And my challenge is to the older generation, finish strong. You know, my dad says we don't, my dad's 70, he's not retiring. He says we don't retire, we refire. And so we finish strong. If you're not dead, you're not done. You keep going until the day you die. God still has amazing things for you to do. You have so much wisdom. You have so much authority, so much anointing. Keep going. This church needs you. Keep speaking life. Keep praying. Just keep looking after your grandchildren, doing all that. Keep going into the city, wherever God calls you. Don't buy a caravan. Don't join the Lawn Bowls Club. You can, but not too much, okay? God's kingdom needs you. I tell you, if this is ever a day in an age where we need our grandparents, it is today. Because we have a whole generation of young people who don't even have parents, don't know their grandparents. And so we need you, not just for the church, but for the city. And for the younger generation, as you're starting and God's speaking to you, I tell you, the days are going to be hard. You're going to want to quit. All of hell is going to come against you. You don't enlist in the battle of God and have a fairy trip. It is hard going. People, I've lost some of my best friends in this stuff. And it's hard and I don't understand why and what goes wrong. And it's just hard, but you just got to keep going and being faithful to what God has called you, because His purposes are much greater than mine. And so may God help us. So let me end with this verse from Hebrews 12. And I think someone needs to tell the children's church lady that they can come back in. Hebrews 12, it says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. This is the Message version. And now he's there, in the place of honour, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he ploughed through. That will shoot adrenaline in your souls. Anytime you want to give up, think of the cross and what's done for you, hey? People ask me a lot, how's your work going in the city with the girls and what you do? And I say, come back and ask me when I'm 90. Like, seriously, I think we live with such a short-term view of what we think God is doing. If I looked at what was happening in the lives of the girls I was working with every day and brought my success by that, I'd be in the mental institute, because girls can have 75 different emotions in one day. So you ask me when I'm 90 how it's going and what impact we've made on the city, and then I'll know if I've been successful and obedient to what God has called me. Hey, we keep going for the long haul. We want to be fully awake and alive and engaged in the battle that God has called us to fight. We need to be fully surrendered, stepping out in courage and running with perseverance. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for people sitting in this room, God, who feel like giving up, who are just really battling with fear in their life. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd put a new sense of courage, a new sense of purpose. Father, just come to anyone here today with a new sense of mission and what it is you have called them to. Lord, lift our eyes off our circumstances and may they be found upon you, Lord Jesus, because you are a great and a mighty and a trustworthy God. Forgive us when we doubt you. Forgive us when we live in the self-pity or the excuses. Father, forgive us when we don't speak up, Lord, because we're afraid. Forgive us when we don't even walk across the road to our neighbours, God, because we don't have time or we're too busy. Father, renew, Lord, the vision. Renew the passion, Lord, in our hearts, God. And for this church as a body, Lord, I thank you that it has an important place in this city. Father, an important role. And Lord, I pray that as they continue to forge forward and press into you, God, and just needing the courage that you have for them, just bless them, I pray, powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen.